Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Well, folks, it's just about time to wrap up the evening, and quite appropriately, we'll be finishing the mini talks this evening with a presentation from our very own editor at Java.net, Chris Adamson, and he will be speaking about Keaton, calling the Qt kit from Java. With Java not providing a good multimedia toolkit, many developers need to go native, and Keaton is a project to provide a wrapper around Apple's Qt kit framework for Mac OS X. Chris?
Okay, thanks, Gary. I'm going to be talking about calling Qt kit from Java. And Qt kit is Apple's new multimedia framework. It is object-oriented. It uses the Cocoa frameworks, which Apple wants all new Mac development to be written in. So let me give you a tour of where we're going to go here. We're going to look at the big picture of Java Media. We'll look at QuickTime and Java and their respective histories, the new rise of Qt kit, how we plan to wrap Qt kit, and the status and direction of the project and lessons learned along the way. So the official Java Media toolkit is the Java Media Framework. It was put together by Sun in the late 90s. Its last major release was 1999. They haven't even updated the web page since 2004. It's not a JSR-approved API because it predates the JCP. So JMF is effectively dead, and that's all we need to say about it. There's an alternative called QuickTime for Java. It has very high performance because it's a wrap around a native framework. It has very deep functionality. It lets you edit. It lets you export, work with a lot of formats. It gives you direct access to the samples so you can get the images and get the sound samples and draw waveforms. The thing is, it's a huge, very difficult API. I wrote a whole book on it. Nobody bought it, but I wrote a whole book on it. It depends on having the native QuickTime framework available to you. It's not QuickTime written in Java. It's just a whole bunch of calls from Java to the native API. So it only exists where QuickTime exists, and that only means Mac and Windows. No Linux, no Solaris, no NetBSD, no anything but Mac and Windows. Apple hasn't updated since 2003, and Apple is quietly discouraging its use. So now what do we do about Java Media? Hopefully you'll all come to my BOF tomorrow night, BOF 0904, Java Media Take 2. It's tomorrow night, 8:55 p.m. in Esplanade 303. But continuing our story, because we're going to get up to where we are today with the various QuickTime kind of APIs on the Mac, QuickTime started back in 1990 with QuickTime 1.0, and it was a comprehensive media framework for Mac System 7. If you've been on the Mac for a while, you know how long ago System 7 was. It even had a little bit of a backport for System 6, which is really scary old. In 1998, when they'd made it to QuickTime 3.0, they had a full feature parity for the Windows version, so all the things like editing and getting at samples and transcoding and doing tweens and 3D and stuff existed on Windows just as it did on the Mac. And the way they did this was something called the QuickTime Media Layer, which effectively ported large portions of the classic Mac OS to arbitrary OSs. The only one they ever did it for was Windows, but it was theoretically portable elsewhere. But this brought over their imaging system, QuickDraw, brought over their memory management concepts like pointers and handles, which was recently part of that the exploit that we saw where an Apple MacBook was cracked because they were able to get at this old memory management that was exposed by QuickTime. The other story here has to do, it starts in the early to mid-90s with a company called Kaleida Labs, which is one of these insanely doomed things that Apple threw money into in the mid-1990s. And they were working on something called ScriptX, which was an object-oriented media framework. Kaleida went away $50 million later, but one of their engineers, Bill Stewart, came over to Apple, and he started working on something called the Biscotti Project, where they're taking some of these object-oriented media concepts and saying, well, let's tie them into Apple's technologies. And, of course, that meant QuickTime. Well, right about the mid-90s, of course, is when we start thinking about the rise of Java. So the Biscotti Project, of course, turned into QuickTime for Java. Now, what is QuickTime for Java? QuickTime for Java is a Java framework. Like I said, it calls the native QuickTime framework. It exposes nearly all of the native QuickTime APIs to Java. You get playback editing, you get media capture, you get an effects framework, etc. The weird thing about QuickTime for Java was it was written in haste when it seemed like people were moving away from native development and into Java development for GUI applications. And so this is a way that Apple was trying to hold on to their QuickTime developers, thinking that they weren't going to use C anymore, that they were going to write their apps in Java. And they said, well, okay, you can change languages, but please keep with our media framework. Well, the weird part of this was they never meant it to be something that the Java developers would use when they decided they needed media. So they sort of got the wrong audience, the audience they never intended to have. QuickTime for Java has had a sort of tortured history, too. In March 2003, Apple redid their Java implementation. They moved from an internal framework called Carbon, which was based on the old Mac OS toolkit, to Cocoa, which is based on NextStep, and that's all nice and object-oriented. In the process, they totally broke QuickTime for Java. And they basically left it broken for most of the year. They fixed it in October, but they introduced a whole bunch of new APIs, so everybody had to rewrite their apps. And some of the previous functionality that existed wasn't brought over. For example, you couldn't get an on-screen preview of your video camera. You could capture from your webcam, your eyesight, whatever, to disk, but you couldn't see what you were doing. And that kind of sucks in terms of a user experience. And they really haven't updated QTJ since then. So this is something that's now in maintenance mode. You know, QuickTime for Java, it's not something Apple's putting any effort behind anymore. When the new underlying native framework gets new APIs, they're not being exposed to Java anymore. There's new things in QuickTime 7, like metadata or frame reordering codecs, which you need to do H.264. You can't do that from Java because they haven't exposed the function calls you would need to do that. Apple's been very quiet and public about QTJ, and they've quietly asked people like me to stop evangelizing it because they're worried we're going to get people to adopt something that Apple really isn't interested in maintaining or, moreover, getting bug reports and support requests about. So, you know, QTJ is kind of done. So back on the native side, since we've basically ruled out our two Java options now and we have to do something native, we have the rise of QtKit. Now, QtKit was introduced alongside QuickTime 7. It is an object-oriented Cocoa framework for working with multimedia. I say object-oriented, that's really important, as opposed to the old QuickTime APIs are meant to be called from straight C. Traditional native QuickTime code is scary ugly. Not just ugly, scary ugly. There was a blog I read a few weeks ago called Frozen in Carbonite, where one of the guys wrote an app called Delicious Library, which scans barcodes of your products with your eyesight. He said that it takes 80 lines of code to set one parameter on a camera. Like if you're trying to change your iris or something, you have to set up this whole block of parameters in these horrible atom structures, and you'd need 80 lines to make this one call, and it only works with FireWire cameras. So if you have a USB camera or something else, it doesn't even work. So the old QuickTime API is really incredibly painful. Trust me, I've programmed it. It's really hard to work with. Anyway, QtKit, there was a simple Cocoa NS Movie class that had like five functions. QtKit replaced it. It has much more functionality. QtKit consists of five classes and then a couple other things, like there's an addition to NS value to represent time. It's called a QtTime object. It's a lot simpler than straight C. I think I mentioned this before, but you can, when you want to like build up a video track of like images, because we always hear this like within the Java people, we hear people saying, well, I've got like some Joggle thing that I'm rendering and I want to take frame by frame an image I've rendered with Joggle or Java 3D. I want to take that image and I want to make a movie. So I'm going to take one image at a time and put it into a video track. Adding the video sample in QtKit is a one-line call, which is really nice. On the other hand, about QtKit, a lot of the really old stuff that's gone into QuickTime over the last 17 years isn't part of QtKit. They're not doing things like sprites. They're not doing things like their little 3D. They've left a lot of things out. They left out some important stuff too, some of which we can't talk about yet. This year's Apple Developer Conference, WWDC 2007, QtKit gets a full-blown lab and a whole bunch of sessions. The traditional QuickTime, those sessions seem to be more for the authors than the developers. So, you know, they're doing a thing about, like, you know, QuickTime and Ajax. I think there's a pretty less than subtle push here for the native developers to start moving from the native QuickTime to QtKit. So on the Java side, if we're picking a native framework that we want to start calling, maybe we should start listening to what Apple's saying and saying, well, if they're pushing their native people over to QtKit, maybe that's what we need to be paying attention to as well. There is major new functionality coming to Qt Kit in Leopard. We're under NDA, so I can't talk about it. So let's just say I wouldn't be going down this road if I didn't think it was a profoundly good idea. And that's all I can say without being sued. The other thing I think is going on with this Qt Kit framework is today you can build it on top of QuickTime, you know, the old 17-year-old framework that's got a lot of great functionality, but it's got 17 years worth of code in it. What I'm kind of wondering what might be going on is if today you can build it on top of QuickTime, but maybe in the future you can just go straight to some of the things that are in the operating system itself. You don't have to have that whole isolation layer to run on Windows if you don't really plan on running on Windows. You can call directly into things like Core Video. I'm kind of wondering if someday we see Qt Kit not depending on the old QuickTime anymore. And you see, that's one of the problems if we stuck with QuickTime for Java. You know, Qt Java today depends on the classic QuickTime framework. But if that old framework goes away or gets deprecated or just really isn't particularly beloved anymore, well, Qt Java is kind of out of luck. So Keaton is a Java.NET project to put a Java wrapper around this Qt Kit framework. So it's going to expose Apple's media framework of the future to Java apps. Now, since Qt Kit only exists on Mac OS X, well, this framework is only going to be useful on Mac OS X. It is a one-platform Java wrapper, which is not great, but solving all the problems of Java media is my task for tomorrow night, not tonight. This project lives at keaton.dev.java.net. So I go into this project thinking, well, hey, Java's object-oriented. Qt Kit's object-oriented. Well, that doesn't seem too hard, right? I mean, you know, I've got in Objective-C, I have a Qt movie object, and it has methods or messages in their parlance. Like, for example, I want to make a movie from a URL. So it's Qt movie, init with URL, and then a URL object. Well, okay, in Java, you know, it'd just be a constructor that takes a URL, right? I mean, that doesn't seem like it should kill us. We'll just have the constructor call the native method. And, you know, Qt Kit only has 5 classes. It's got, like, under 100 methods. How hard could it be? Well, there's some interesting problems. One of the more interesting things is the fact that JNI does not assume that the underlying language you're calling is object-oriented. Pure JNI calls, to be compatible with C, make these straight C function calls. So you then have to say, well, okay, I actually want to have a one-to-one correspondence of a Java object to an Objective-C object. How am I going to maintain that relationship? I did a little research. It turns out the established practice, as recommended by Sun, is that when you do your native object allocation in Objective-C, that's going to be you're going to either do an alloc or you'll implicitly pick that up by doing some sort of an init. Like in Qt Kit, this is going to be like init with URL, init with file, init with data reference. Well, that's going to give you back an object pointer. Yes, we're dealing with pointers now. Well, that pointer is just a long. The established practice is to pass that long back to Java. Java will hold on to that 64-bit value, and then it will pass it in all of its JNI calls back into native code. Then your native code, when it gets that call, it says, here's a long, and I know that what's at that address in memory is an Objective-C object. So I'm just going to cast that and head along my merry way. So yes, we are now dealing with pointers again, but that is the established practice for how you can maintain these one-to-one relationships between Java objects and native objects, and the same process is recommended for C++ code. So other problems that make this interesting and difficult have to do with threading woes. You can look this up on TechNote 2147 from Apple, which is writing JNI applications on the Mac. But basically, the problem is a lot of the things you want to do with Qt Kit, you need to do on AppKit's main thread. Well, this should sound familiar because that's kind of like in Swing. You know, you want to do things that touch Swing on Swing's event dispatch thread, or actually it's the AWT event dispatch thread, so long as they don't take too long. And if you take too long, you get into this wonderful world where you need to offload your work and then maybe call back into event dispatch with a worker thread. So what's really interesting here is that we have to do our native work on the AppKit main thread, but we want to be doing our Swing work on the AWT event dispatch thread. So Apple gives you a little help here. they've defined something called in Java called a Cocoa component. And a Cocoa component is a Java object that is associated with a Cocoa NSView object. If you can create that relationship, and it's actually very easy here because one of our classes in Qt Kit is a Qt Movie View, which is an NSView, this is pretty easy to do. What they give you is a pair of methods. On the Java side, you have one called sendMessage. It has an ID int, which says this is the message I'm sending, and then a plain Jane object into which you stuff everything and anything you want the native code to work with. On the Objective-C side, you will receive that ID telling you which of many things you need to do, and it's just going to be a big and num kind of thing, the object that was passed in to you, and the JNI environment, so you can go do some JNI calls if you need to call back into Java. You can use some traditional JNI techniques to do that. So using this pair of methods, the one on the Java side, the one on the native side, you can make thread-safe calls. The tricky thing about this is it doesn't block. That's generally good because you're not going to block your GUIs, but if you ever have to do something where you need to return a value, it starts to get kind of ugly. Another thing I found that was tricky was the Qt movies need to be created on the AppKit main thread, but you might not have a GUI to work with yet. You might just be building a movie in code. So in that case, you have to use something called perform selector on main thread, which just ends up being kind of a pain in the butt to use sometimes, but you pass in a function pointer that says, this is the function that I want you to perform on the main thread. To build this stuff, this is another interesting thing I discovered along the way. When you traditionally do JNI apps, you create header files. You'd use the Java H to create a header file, and then all the methods you've defined in Java as being native are going to be, you're going to get C header files submitted for them, and then you can import those into C and go on your merry way. But in Objective-C, you use header files to define your interfaces, which you then implement in your .m files. So you kind of have a need for two header files for each of your implementation files. Apple's recommended technique to deal with this is you let Java H make your .h file. You then import that into another header file in which you have your obc interfaces, and that is the one you in turn include in your .m file. So you have two header files for each implementation, one of which is generated programmatically by your Java H, so that way you're not clobbering your Objective-C headers with any Java headers. So Keaton uses an Ant-based build. It has a couple interesting targets. You have classes in jar, pretty typical in Ant. Headers is just a Java H call. Natives is a big exec command line argument that finds all the .m files and compiles them. Then once it has the resulting .o files, it turns them into a .jni lib, which is on the Mac a native library. And then finally, there's a run rule that can run all your stuff out of Ant. So I'm a little late on time, but I'm going to try to squeeze in a demo here if everyone is willing. Let me move my terminal over to the other screen. Is my terminal coming in there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it?
Oh. Huh. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to switch to mirroring real quick. This is going to sound great on the podcast. Oh, well. Such is life. Let me go to arrangements. Oh yeah, now I'm mirrored. I had this up the first time. Okay, well, I feel foolish. Okay, so let's quickly do Ant clean run. So this is going to do, we're going to wipe out all of our class files, we're going to wipe out all of our .o files, our JNI lib, we're going to build everything from scratch. So we built the class files, we built a jar. Natives take about 45 seconds to build. It surprised me how long it is. There's only I think 3 or 4 native files at this point. So like I said, we use a big exec to find all the .m files, compile those, put them into a JNI lib, and then there's also a build step that puts everything into a dist directory. Yeah, here comes the JNI lib files getting built, and that's really quick. And now we're running. So if you look up the menu bar, you can see if you've ever developed a Java app on the Mac, and pretty traditionally up in the command line, if you don't specially set your app name, you get your class name. So org, JVNet, Keaton, test, Qt, movie view component. And in the test file, I have two windows here that come up. Each of them is empty, and they have a button that says select movie. And that takes me directly to my movies folder. So I'm going to open up a video of my kid. And there it is, and I can hit the play button. I have the traditional QuickTime controllers. And then while that's playing, I'm going to go to this other window, and I'm going to pick up a different movie. And I'm going to play that. You can see both these movies are playing. Now, the other thing I should mention about this is these are AWT components, because that's the whole thing we get with native peering and the Cocoa component, is that your NSView comes up in the native side of the world. So having shown that off, let's see if we can get back to our slides. All right, and what can we say about this? Building a GUI isn't hard. I mean, this looks like a... This is six here lines here of GUI code, but most of it is very typical AWT. You're setting a layout, you're creating a button, adding an action listener. The only line here that's a Keaton line is new Qt movie view component. And this is a very Apple way of doing things. You create your GUI components before you put models behind them. And your components always have to be able to accept new models. And in this case, the model is the movie you're setting on it. So you open up, you create a window with no content, but it does have a view, and you can just progressively change what movie that view is showing. To create a new movie, you know, this is really easy. You just basically say new Qt movie with a Java.io file reference, and then I call set movie on the view, and that's how we brought it up. It was very easy. What we've done basically is we've moved all the pain to the Objective-C side. This is two functions that back up the new movie from file functionality. So, but that's the idea of a framework. I mean, you move all the pain into a framework so the callers get something that's pretty easy to work with. So the status of the project, what you see is what I've got. I mean, I can basically create new movie, Qt movie objects. They can be either empty, I can create them from files, I can create them from URLs. The view component basically always has a controller. You can't turn it on or off yet. You should be able to do that. It should be better about resizing. And right now, it's heavyweight. It's an AWT component. Ideally, in the future, we want this to be a swing component, so it plays more nicely in swing GUIs. Plus, anything you do lightweight can go into things like Joggle. The next steps are going to be things like implementing cut, copy, and paste, and a really, really, really big Leopard feature that we can't talk about, and I'd hoped to demo, but Leopard got delayed 6 months. The goals of this project have been, I want to take a really deep dive into Objective-C and Qt Kit. It's been interesting for me. It's a good learning experience. For other developers, this might be a way to get Mac support for your media player or your framework, because we're all forced to go native now. Why don't we have one project just take care of the Mac side of things? We get some, you know, a decent Windows media player, a decent Linux media player, and you know, this isn't just a player, this is also going to have editing capabilities with cut, copy, paste, the ability to add samples directly. You know, that's going to make life a little easier to give you some creative capabilities. Some of the lessons I've learned, I don't have enough time to do a good job on this project, frankly. I've already got a day job editing java.net. I sometimes find time to work on this, but I haven't gotten nearly as far as I thought I would by this point. Qt Kit's lacking a lot of things I would really want if I were developing an end-user app. You know, I've always wanted to do basically an IDE for podcasts, you know, which would give you control over things like, you know, the clips you use in all of your shows and let you create segments of shows and mix them together and do tweens so you can, like, fade things in and out. And Qt Kit doesn't give you the access to things like tweens or sample level access yet. And you'd need sample level access so you could draw a waveform. And we don't have that yet. And I've learned that handling the threading issues between Objective-C and Java is really nasty. It's a really hard thing to do. And with that, I will move on to the Q&A portion of tonight's program. Do I have any questions? All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming out. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. That's the Keaton Project, calling the Qt Kit from Java. Well, that'll wrap up our mini talks for this evening, folks. Be sure and stay around for the reception. It'll run from 6:30 till 8 o'clock this evening. There'll be free food. There'll be demos. There'll be robotics demos. There'll be sunspots. There's plenty to see and plenty to do. Have a good time. We'll start again bright and early tomorrow morning at about 11:30 with a mini talk called Making Music with Java for Dummies. Okay, see you tomorrow, folks.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2007 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner, or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.